orphan with a destiny he did not understand. A wise teacher who would guide him through 7 life-changing books. Books that would equip the boy to live and to rule in the kingdom he was designed for. Book 3, Soul Food, Expressions of the Heart. As the royal grows into a young man, so do his passions and desires to express his emotions. Like food for the soul, poetic language was given to the royal to empower his heart and mind to communicate in ways that honor and cry out to his king.
Wise teacher, when should I sing these songs or say these prayers?
Repeat them when you want to thank your king and tell him how great he is. When you want to cry out in anger or are brokenhearted and sad. When you need to pray and are discouraged or lonely. Join us as Pastor Miles McPherson continues his new teaching series on how to understand God's Word through biblical genres. Be part of the kingdom journey. Come, discover who and whose you were meant to be.
What's happening? Good evening, everyone. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. We have any visitors here tonight from out of town? Anybody here from out of town? Yes, where are you from? L.A.? Yeah. It's all right. You're welcome. Anybody else from out of town? Two other people from out of town. Yes, where are you from, sir? Where in Florida? Jacksonville. I think we play you guys the first game of the year. We're going to get some. Sorry, it's a friendly place. We could have, amen. I can't vouch what's going to happen when you walk outside, though. Yes, where are you from? Laughlin, Nevada. Welcome. It's hot there. Yeah, where are you from? Is that why you're here? It's hot. Oh, you were here for yoga? I did yoga like a month ago for the first time. It was hard. I was like this. Where are you from? Santa Clarita. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word, and we pray you bless us tonight. And we just thank you for being good to us and patient with us and with all of our different attitudes. In Jesus' name, amen. My son played football when he was 11 years old. I wanted him to play earlier, but the queen laid down the law. As the man of the house, I'm the head of my household. Right, fellas? We're the head of our house? Right. We're the head, and our wives are the neck, and they can turn us any way they want us to go. So when I got the clearance to let him play at 11, I was a coach, and football is a violent sport, and it's meant to be, and it's that's one of the very special things about it, is that it is violent, and that it's a controlled legal violence. And so when you have little kids play, especially, you know, for the first time, and they've never had the experience of running into some human being as hard as they can who also had the intent to hurt them, it's kind of a, you know, sometimes it's a very exhilarating experience, and other times kids go home and never come back. And so, you know, when you have kids playing for the first time, they get the uniform around the 10th day of practice, so I don't know, I think it's 10 days of practice or 10 practices. And so you're always wondering how they are going to change once they get the uniform. And so, you know, they practice and they start hitting, and some kids don't come back and they cry and whatever. But then there are some kids who have that almost psycho look. You know, those are your guys right there. So we had a kid once, and I think we were playing a game or a scrimmage, and someone punched him or did something illegal to hurt him. And he came back, and he was crying. He was mad. He wanted to get the kid back and fight him. And I was like, calm down. He was crying. And I said, look, I understand. I didn't see the play, but I said, I understand he did something wrong, whatever. But you have to understand something. In football, vengeance is completely legal. So we will get him back. But it has to be within the guidelines of the game. You can't have a penalty. Even though he might have punched you, we can get him back legally, and we'll get him back good. But it has to be with it, you know, legally. So we don't break the rules. My brother was a boxer, by the way, and he was ranked 20th in the world at one time. And boxing is the same way. You know, if someone gets mad, or you know, when you see boxers talking trash, they can talk all the trash they want because they're gonna fight. And so it's, you know, settle it in the ring. When you are a Christian and you say you want to walk with God and someone gets you, they do something to you, bad, they lie, they cheat, they steal, how do you get them back? Well, guess what? God has given us a way to go postal biblically. So today we're going to talk about praying for vengeance for our enemies. Everyone say vengeance. Now, we'll continue the series in the Royal, and we are in a small mini-series called Soul Food. Everyone say Soul Food. And soul food is about the genre, biblical genre, or writing style, literary style of poetry. It's not the kind of poetry we know. It's Hebrew poetry. And Hebrew poetry was all about empowering the soul to express itself emotionally. And in the Bible, Hebrew poetry is used to empower our soul to express ourselves to God about all kinds of topics and to express ourselves like God in wisdom literature. We're going to talk about that next week. How to have more wisdom. By the way, how many of y'all want more wisdom? Very good. I would think so. So we're going to talk about that next week, how to get wisdom. We all need wisdom, and wisdom is not information. It's not knowledge. It's something different. Okay, so we're going to talk about that next week. But poetic language empowers the heart. Like when you're sad, God will say, here's the kinds of things you can pray to me and say to me. When you're joyful, here's the kinds of things you can say to me. When you want to worship me, thank me, praise me, honor me. God tells us what kind of things to say because he reminds us, remember, I'm the one who protects you from your enemies. I'm the one who forgives you of your sin. I'm the one who created the heavens and the earth. I'm the one who's going to bring you to heaven. I'm the one who's going to deliver salvation. I'm the one who watches your back. So he tells us in poetic language all these things and ways we need to praise him, thank him, honor him, celebrate him, how to sing songs that anticipate Jesus coming. These were written before Christ came. But then there are some poetic psalms that deal with praying against your enemies, because we will all have people do something bad to us. Can I get an amen? When I first started a ministry, not the church, a ministry before the church, I was renting in a building from a Christian. And in one day, the Christian who had my lease, actually I didn't have a lease for some reason, he broke the lease and said, you need to be out within 24 hours. And he had leased it out to another pastor. They kicked me out one day. I remember driving down the street. My whole life was in a U-Haul truck going up to 15, thinking that's it. I had no phone. No one had to get in touch with me, blah, blah, blah. And God got me through. But do you think I was mad at those two guys? Most definitely. Do you think I wanted God to smoke those fools? Most definitely. Most definitely. Why? Because it was 100% wrong, unethical, illegal, unbiblical, everything. There was nothing right about it. It was backstabbing and pulling wrong out of my feet. It was completely wrong. And what could I do? What could I do? And by the way, I know both of them. I'm not really in contact with one of them, but we've since seen each other a long time ago. But it was wrong. It was wrong. And so how do you deal with that? Do you as a Christian say, oh, it's okay, you know, I'm a Christian, everything? No. No. You get mad. You get mad. Matter of fact, I had a guy once tell me, I don't think if he told me this, I heard him say it. He says, as Christians, when someone does something bad to you, especially another Christian, don't get cynical, get mad. What I mean by that, don't write off Christians and say, well, I'm never going to go back to church again. No. You get mad and you approach the person biblically, and you don't talk about them. Talk to them. Okay? I didn't just talk about people because, I already talked to them, and I didn't tell you who they were. So I didn't talk about them. Now, if I say their name, another story. First thing you have to understand, Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's in your notes. It's not a fill-in. It's right before your fill-in. Vengeance is God's responsibility. Romans 12, verse 19. It says 20 in your notes. It should say 20, verse 19. Vengeance is mine. It's not a fill-in. You should see it written right there. Everyone say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Say it one more time. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath in and pause. Now say it. Right. It is not up to you. It is up to God. If God wants you to punch somebody in the face, which I probably he never will, then you punch him in the face. Doubt that will ever happen. If God wants you to confront somebody, you confront somebody. God writes you, want to write him a mean note, you write him a mean note. When I mean, I don't mean with F-bombs in it, but I mean like you dog me out, you know, you're wrong, blah, 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 okay? It's all up to God, 100%. Let's read Psalm 35, verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. If you were here last week, I talked about synonymous parallelism. Everybody say synonymous. Say parallelism. Where one line repeats what the second line repeats what the first line says. So watch God say the same thing twice over and over again. Verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Second line says the same thing. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also, draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. Verse 4, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Everybody say angel of the Lord. Imagine someone trying to run from God. It ain't going to happen. Let the angel of the Lord chase them, and their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden a net for me in a pit, which they have dug without a cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself into the very destruction. Let him fall. Number one in your notes. Number one in your notes is... vengeance is taken out on the unrighteous before God, not the unfriendly toward you. God is, I don't care how often you pray and how hard you pray, if you're praying against someone because they did something that you didn't like, but they're cool with God, God ain't going to help you. Are they God's enemy? This is not about God being our good luck charm, our little servant, do what I want, go get that person, do that to that person. God's not like that. God is saying, look, and we're going to see in a minute, I'm going to judge according to my righteousness. If I don't got a beef with them, I'm not going to do anything to them. Now, I get irritated when people maliciously cut people in line. When you stand in line at a store or at the airport or whatever, and you turn your back and they just kind of slip in front of you. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? So look at all these people, okay. And you know what you thought in your head when they did that, right? Uh-huh. I was in the airport in Phoenix. I remember this because it really kind of made me mad. It was an old lady. I love old people. I love young people. I love all kind of people, you know. But old people in general usually are sweet. But, you know, some old people are grumpy. Can I get amen? Now, I'm not saying the old people in here, all the old people in here are real sweet. They're all nice. How you old people? How you doing? What's up? How you doing? Whoever thinks you're old, I'm not judging age, okay? I remember when I thought 40 was old. So I'm standing in line, and I turned my head for 1 minute, and this little old lady just kind of creeped on up and just... I was like, no, you did not just cut me. So I'm at the airport Friday, just 2 days ago, and because I fly a lot, I get a lot of points, and I upgrade to first class anytime I can, and I happen to be in first class, and there was a lot of people standing in front of the thing, and they usually let the first class people on first, and they said, first class, you can board, and so nobody was moving except this one guy who was walking to get in, so I figured I'd just follow him through the crowd. So I'm following him, and all of a sudden, he cuts the first class line other people. And they're all starting to yell at him, like more than one person out loud. Hey, man, you know, you ain't the first and only one in first class. What are you really doing? And just yelling at him. It so happened that I was right behind him cutting also. And I was like, I'm not that guy. So I stopped and kind of backed up like this. And there was a guy that I had cut in front of. I was already in front of him. And he's looking at me just like, want to fight, look at me. And I'm like, brother, I'm not that guy. Go ahead. And he said, nah, you go ahead. I was like, nah, you go ahead. He's like, nah, you go ahead. He's like, you are going to cut me, and I'm going to be mad at you, okay? And nothing you can do. You can't take this back. So I was like, I got it. So I'm walking. Now, I know that he's going to be, it's only like four rows in first class, so he might even be sitting next to me, right? He's like right there. Well, he's not sitting next to me. He's sitting two rows behind me. And every time I got up, I look back, and he's still staring me down like, yeah, you're the guy that. And it just so happened the guy that I was following happened to sit right next to me, so it looked like we were together. So I'm like, brother, I can't talk to you for 5 hours, okay, because I don't want nobody in here. The point of the story was, if that guy prayed to God against me, God would have said he didn't know he was cutting. Now, the other guy might have known. He didn't know. If you pray against somebody that God has no beef with, that's on you. And you may have enemies that God doesn't have a beef with. And you may have enemies where you are the guilty party. Because we all have a lot of people in our life we got issues with because they didn't do what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, how we wanted to do it. Can I get amen? Amen. That's your problem. That's my problem. That's not God's problem. God gives you no assistance in that. Matter of fact, the assistance God is going to give you in that, you ain't going to like. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes. Number two in your notes. God grants vengeance for those whose lives have a righteous cause and pattern. God grants vengeance for those whose lives have a righteous cause and a righteous pattern. In other words, you are living right. Dear God, hook me up. Dear God, do this for me. Dear God, get that for me. God's going to say, well, how you living? Let's read how David, this is King David talking about praying against vengeance against his enemies. Let's read how he, what's included in his prayer against his enemies. Look at verse 13. David says, but as for me, when they were sick, when my enemies were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, which was a clothing of mourning. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own mouth, heart. I paced about as though he, my enemy, were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. In other words, when the guy who laid his net to trap me, when he got in trouble, I pray for him. Do you pray for your enemies? It's one thing to pray for your friends. It's another thing to pray for your enemies. We as a church have enemies in the community for many reasons. We have people in here in the community don't like us. They take videos of you and your traffic, of our traffic, which you're not doing anything wrong, and they show it to community groups and show how bad we are. They're trying to prevent us from getting permits to use the street out here for our ministry fair. So they're just always fighting us. And you know what? Let's pray for them. Pray for them. We helped and did some work at Starlight Bowl. The Starlight Bowl is an outdoor theater here in town in Balboa Park. It's 3,800 seats. It's a beautiful place. We did about $100,000 worth of volunteer work there a few months ago. $100,000 was the value they gave us, and it's at least that. But they're very accurate, and we have a very good relationship with the Starlight Bowl. But there are some in the gay community that thought that the Starlight Bowl allowing The Rock to give them service was the equivalent of letting the Ku Klux Klan in the Starlight Bowl. And how I know this? Because it was written in the gay San Diego newspaper, and it's online. It's in their newspaper. And they said, I'm not quote, but it basically said allowing The Rock was the equivalent of letting the Ku Klux Klan there. Or they said, I'm sorry, they said KKK. So I'm the Grand Marshal of the KKK now. You know what? We don't have anything but love for them. Amen. Never had anything, never will. Pray for them. And you know what I pray for them? That God would bless them tremendously with his presence. Period. Even the people who email me and tell me I should be dead. Snipers should visit my house. Oh, really? Trust me. Pray for them. God would meet those people. I had a meeting with a pastor. A pastor and I had a meeting with another pastor about some issues we had in disagreement on the Bible. And we had this long discussion, and the dude was out to lunch. And so we just kind of agreed to disagree, but we told the brother, brother, you need to read your Bible. And you're going to be held accountable for the stuff you're saying. And then after it was over, we said, we want to pray for you. This discussion wasn't we hate you kind of, it was just a discussion of let's try to, and by the way, we had never met, so we had no conflict before this. But he wanted to talk about some stuff, so we end up talking, and we end up saying, brother, you know, what you're believing is off the wall. And we said, we want to pray for you. So we pray for him, and I pray that God would bless him. And the other pastor, my buddy, said, why did you pray that God would bless him? And he says, I wanted him to be blessed with an extra dose of God's love and revelation, because if God reveals himself to that guy, all the stuff we're discussing will be cleared up. And so whatever people don't like you, pray for them. And you're not praying that they get a Mercedes or they get a $1 million lottery or whatever. You're praying that God will reveal himself to them in a powerful way. They may say they know God. Great. Then you want them to know God even more. Because the more they know God, the more you know God, the less issue you're going to have. And so you could be hating someone and be mad at someone, or you could say, you know what? What am I going to accomplish by fighting them? I'm going to pray for them. Now, it doesn't mean you got to hang out with them. Doesn't mean you got to be all chum with them, because there's some people who have done some bad things to you and you need to keep them far away. But I'm going to tell you, the more you can pray for them and the more your heart can be lifted of the burden of the anger, the happier you're going to be. Because I've seen and been with people, and I've been one of those people myself, where you carry a burden and it just ruins your day. Day after day. I talked to a young lady today who was in tears because of her anger towards someone who did something to her. In tears. Let it go. Matter of fact, when Adam and Eve's kids, Cain and Abel, had an issue, Adam and Eve's son, Cain, killed his brother Abel. And the reason he killed his other brother Abel, because Cain's sacrifice to God was rejected by God, and Abel's sacrifice to God was accepted. So Cain, when his sacrifice to God was rejected and Abel's was accepted, he had an issue with God. And he took it out on his brother and killed him. First murder in the Bible, Genesis 4. If you have an issue with somebody, it may be because you got an issue with God. Or it may be that you need to get with God to heal your heart. Even though they may be at fault, God is saying, I want you to come to me for healing. Matter of fact, forgiving someone doesn't mean that you are accepting of what they did. Or it doesn't mean you approve of what they did. It means that you are no longer holding them responsible to heal your pain. I'm going to say that again. When you forgive somebody who has hurt you, you are saying, I forgive you, which doesn't mean we're cool necessarily. It doesn't mean we're going to hang out necessarily. It doesn't mean I approve of what you did. It doesn't mean what you did was okay. It could mean what you did was horrible, wrong, and I hope I never see you again, but I'm going to forgive you, which means I'm not going to hold you responsible to make me feel better. I'm going to deal with God on that, because only God can heal me. So I'm not carrying that burden anymore. I'm not consumed with winning an argument with you or proving that you're a bad person, because that's what we do when we talk about people. We want to prove they're a bad person to justify our anger towards them. That goes nowhere. Just say, God, I want you to heal me, and I want to be right before you. Because what happens is that you end up sinning in your heart, cursing their name. Now, I'm not a counselor. I talk to people after church and do a counseling, but I don't like sit in an office and, you know, for like an hour. That's just, I don't do that. There are people who do that for a living. I don't. I have a counselor myself who counsels me. Usually just on the phone, I took call her up, but that's what she does for a living. She sits there, and, you know, I couldn't do it. I'm not gifted that way. So I'll sit there for like a few minutes and kind of really get to the point real quick. And in my head, I'm like, okay, where is this going? What's this? I got it. Here's the deal. A lot of times when people complain to me about somebody else, they have crossed the line where now they are harboring sin. That is the number one thing you got to deal with. Before you can deal with somebody else, you have to deal with yourself. And if you can get your life right with God and say, God, you know what? I probably talked about this person too much. I probably have cursed them too much in my heart, in my head, and thought too many evil things. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And give me the forgiveness to forgive them. And I'm just going to go to you for my healing. Whew, your life can be so much better. So much better. And guess what will happen? You will begin, if they're guilty, you will begin to feel sorry for them. I've had people dog me out, and they will come to me, or I would be around them in the process of them doing it, lying, whatever they're doing, and God would just say, you need to pray for them. And he would show me how lost they were. And then it wasn't about me and them anymore. It was about them and God and them being lost. And then it was able to have compassion for them. David was a righteous guy, a man after God's heart, and he knew the guy who was chasing him, Saul, had issues. So I'm going to pray for him. That's my challenge to you, is that you would live a righteous life and your life would represent something righteous before God. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. David's life had a righteous cause. And it says, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long. That's our job. Number three in your notes. Vengeance will be given according to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Turn to the fifth book of the Bible. Keep your ribbon here. We're going to come back to Psalm in a minute. But turn to the fifth book of the Bible, chapter 30. Fifth book of the Bible, chapter 30. In the Old Testament, in the Old Testament law, God has laid out the blessings that come with obedience and the curses that come with disobedience. When I say curses, I don't mean like voodoo doll curse, but I'm talking about consequences to sin. And they are simply the opposite of the blessings. So God told Israel, if you obey me, I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your animals. I'm going to bless your womb. I'm going to bless you against your enemies. You're going to have peace with your enemies and victory over your enemies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you disobey me, all those things, the opposite is going to happen. Your crops are not going to grow. You're going to be oppressed by your enemies. You won't have babies as plentiful as you will. And here's all the things, the bad things are going to happen. And what we're going to read today is right before Moses died, he had to recite the law again before the Jews went into the promised land. He wanted to remind them one more time before he died. And he's going to tell them and remind them that God has set before them life and death. Everyone say life. Everyone say death. Okay, let's read it real quick. And as I'm reading this, I want you to know this applies to you as well, and I'll explain to you what I mean in a minute. It says in verse 15, chapter 30, it says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Why? That you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. If you obey me, you will be blessed. Verse 17. But, everyone say but. Everybody's got a but, right? We all got but this, but this, but this, but this. Look what it says. It says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear or drawn away or worship other gods or serve them, I announce to you today that you shall perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Simple. God is saying this. I've established when people obey me, this is what happens. When people disobey me, this is what happens. So when you pray for somebody's car to be blown up, their house to be burned down, for them to get a canker sore on their lip the day before the prom, or whatever it is, you know, girls are evil, okay? I just hope she falls on those heels, you know. God's going to say, hold up, I judge according to righteousness, and here's all the things. I judge according to my holiness. There may be some people that you're praying against, they did this much wrong. You think they did this much. And by the way, they did this much wrong, and you're talking about them is this much wrong. And God's going to say, you know what? I'm going to judge them according to my standard. That's what I'm going to do. Look what it says in verse, turn back to Psalm 35, verse 24. David says in his complaining against his enemy, vindicate me, O Lord, according to your righteousness. In other words, Lord, I am not going to ask you to do something out of my anger. I want you to judge them according to your righteousness because vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not me. You got an enemy? Ask God to deal with them according to his righteousness. The third point is very similar and related. Look what the fourth point says. The vengeance that results from prayer against others is the same vengeance that prayer will bring on you. It's the same. Remember, God's going to judge according to his righteousness. So whatever you pray against someone else, you are subject to the same thing. Dear God, I pray you blow their tire out. Well, they told one lie, you told five. So that means all your tithes are going out and your spare. You want to be careful how you judge other people, and you want to be careful how quickly you determine that they are wrong and deserve all this punishment. Because I'm going to guarantee you, I don't know all y'all, don't know your business, but I know one thing, you don't know the whole story. How many of you know you don't even know the whole story about your own life? And you look at yourself every day. Matter of fact, you look at yourself in the mirror every chance you get. Walking by the store, looking in the window. Hi, look, I look good. All day long, day and night. Look at your teeth, your nose, your eyes, your hair, everything. Can I get amen? And you still don't know yourself. I just discovered about a year ago that I have a mole right here on my lip. I call it my Cindy Crawford. That's what I call it. I have never, someone pointed out to me, and I don't know if I've ever seen it. So now I'm like, you know, I don't know if it's what side it's on. I really don't even know what side it's on. And I've been looking at my face for 50 years, and I missed it. And you think you know somebody else's business? Be careful. Whenever you pray in Jesus' name, I don't know if you remember us talking about this. When you pray in Jesus' name, what that means is that you are saying, God, I'm going to ask you for all this stuff. And then when I say in Jesus' name, matter of fact, how many of you have prayed in Jesus' name before? Okay. So here's what you did. You pray for all this stuff, and then you said, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. What you mean or what that means to God, which is really all that matters, is that you just said, God, just disregard anything I just pray for that's not according to your will for my life. Give me an example. Dear God, I want a job making 100 G's. Yeah, that's good, 100 grand. And I want a house in La Jolla overlooking the water. I want a Mercedes, a black Mercedes, four-door, five series. And I want a real fine woman. Yeah, God, real fine. TV fine, okay, God? And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Like God's supposed to go, oh, that's the ticket. There you go. Bam, there's your house, damn job. Let me reinterpret that prayer, and I'm going to rephrase the Jesus name part. Dear God, give me a house in the Jola, 100 G's, a fine woman, TV fine. And by the way, if you don't want me to have any of that, that's cool. He gives you a woman. You're looking for someone 5'9". She's 2 feet tall. Ironically, the girl who's 2 feet was praying for someone 1 foot, and you came along, you're 6 foot. It's like, God, you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm going to ask for all this stuff, but I only want what you want. Now pray against your enemy. Dear God, my enemy. They did this, 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 this. God's saying, yeah, that's not the whole story, but keep praying. I want you to do this, 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 this. Oh, you're going to get worse than that, but that's okay. Keep praying. And I pray this in Jesus' name. In other words, God, if I got any of that wrong, if I'm the one at fault, if I'm the one that needs to be punished, if I'm the one that's got the evil heart, then deal with me. Ho-ho! That's what that means. Then deal with me. Make my life right. God is not, he's not your expendables. He ain't your expendable vigilante guy. Go get who you want. God is always going to do right by righteous standard, which is his standard. And the first thing you and I need to do is make sure our life is right. And when you know the best thing someone you can do when someone criticizes you is to pause and listen. Maybe they're right. How many of you have been criticized and you were mad when it happened, then you thought about it a little later and said, you know what, I think they had a point. Mm-hmm. First thing you got to do is get your life right with God and say, God, I need to get my heart right with you. Because what can happen is someone can do something in our life and we over time create another scenario that never happened in our mind by arguing to ourselves. And we convince ourselves of something that's not even true. And they have moved on. I had a lady come to me when we first started church. We were at San Diego State, and I used to stand at the front door and shake people's hand. This lady came up to me, and I was just shaking hand. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Just going by the herd of cattle, right? Just going out the front door. And she stopped and says, I've been mad at you for 8 years. And I was like, who are you? Who are you? And I don't remember what it was for, but it wasn't like someone I don't remember having this deep relationship with that something happened. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, that was an old girlfriend. It wasn't like that. It was like something real peripheral. And she says, it was all in my head and heart. And I've been holding it for 8 years. I let it go. I was like, well, God bless you. I'm happy for you. Because I haven't thought one day a minute about it. I don't even know who you are. Let it go. Let it go. Just give them to God. Give them to God. Sometimes it's so hard, but it is always liberating. The first thing you got to do is take care of you. Matter of fact, that's the only thing you can do. Nobody else's behavior is their responsibility. My kids are 21, 23, 24. I have a responsibility to my kids, but I'm not responsible for my kids. I'm not. They get in trouble. They got it. They got to deal with it. But I have responsibility to them to give them the truth, encourage them, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not responsible for them. You're not responsible for other people. You're responsible for you. And when you die before God, he's not going to ask you, well, how come you didn't fix that person? No, he's going to say, well, you're just going to need to deal with you. That's why when these guys, these guys have all these girlfriends and wives, it is, I don't want to say hard enough, because women are difficult, but it is hard for two people to get along, much less try to have other people. God will say, you had a wife and a mistress and a husband and another guy. It's hard enough just to do one relationship right. Because we're sinners. And so I would encourage you, get yourself together. And watch all these people that are having a battle with you. You'll begin to just go up to them and say, hey, man, you know what? I know we had a difference before. I'm sorry for what I did. You may be 1% at fault. Whew. hey, can I pray for you? Their jaw will drop. I have a friend, I'll end with this story. He's a pastor here in town, and every time he gets hate email, and we both kind of get similar hate emails and death threats, stuff like that, every time he gets one, he calls the person up or writes him a letter. And he says, hey, did I offend you? Can we get together for coffee? Can I pray for you? And he says every single time they soften. They go, I didn't mean that, and God works out. Some of them, they don't agree, but they still have a relationship now. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so my encouragement to you is start with you. Start with you. And just imagine all the good that can happen with all the people you got issue with. And the witness that can be for Christ. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you give us a model for dealing with our enemies. And the model starts with us getting our heart right and our life right. Lord, there are people in here that maybe need to get their life right with you. They need to cast a burden off their shoulders into your hands. They need to be forgiven of their sin. They need you to forgive them for the sin in their heart. They need to stop fighting a battle that's your battle to fight. If tonight you want to get rid of a burden you've been carrying, you want to ask God to forgive you of your sin, you want to be saved, born again, encouraged, whatever, I want you to pray this prayer with me, a prayer of confession, a prayer of surrender. So in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know that I'm the sinner, and I know I'm not perfect, and I know you love me, and I know I am my responsibility. Please forgive me. Please encourage me. Please take my burden and my pain. Jesus, thank you for being who you are and loving me and forgiving me. Cleanse my soul, God, of my bitterness and my hurt. Thank you, Jesus. If you pray that prayer and you want to have God encourage you, you want to cast your burdens on him, you want to help him deal with your anger, for whatever reason you prayed that prayer, you want God to forgive you of your sin. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask you to stand up and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge his comfort in your life. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. 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 God bless you.